Welcome to the Property Voice Podcast, helping you to navigate safely through the world of property investing. Get the lowdown and updates, insights and outcomes on all matters property with a splash of entertainment along the way. The Property Voice, a voice to trust among the crowd. Now, let's get started with your host, Richard Brown.
Hello there, and welcome to the first episode proper of the Property Voice podcast. My name is Richard Brown, and I will be your host. But I'm not alone, am I, Kaza?
Hi, Richard, and hi to the listeners of the Property Voice podcast. Yes, my name is Kaza. I will be the co-host of the podcast. I am here to bring a little bit of virtual reality to proceedings.
Thanks, Kaza. I look forward to having you here with me and to keep me focused on reality. Okay, so tell me, Kaza, what do we have to look forward to in today's episode?
Well, Richard, you did such a good job of setting the scene in the introductory episode. Today we have Property Chatter, Your Voice, and The Shutout to cover during the show. So, here we go.
Okay, so let's get on with this week's featured topic with Property Chatter.
The idea of this first series is to cover what I call the foundations of property investment. Over a series of episodes, we'll cover a range of property investing topics, starting today with strategy. The inspiration for this series is taken from my recently published book, Property Investor Toolkit. Now, you may wish to go and get yourself a copy of the book from Amazon, but there's no means essential to do that. I'll cover some of the main themes throughout this podcast series, so it can act as a standalone resource whichever way. Returning to the main subject of the day, it's all about the right property strategy. And I've stressed the word right here as it spells out a series of words to create a mnemonic, which is kind of neat really, as it'll make it easy to remember. When we start investing in property, or when we're perhaps thinking of expanding into a new area, one of the first things we tend to think about is the right property strategy to follow. And there are quite a few that we can consider as well. I've identified at least 20 different ways to make money through property. I'll come back to this point a little later, but suffice to say now that whilst it's tempting to think of a property strategy to follow and then throw ourselves headlong into following it, that may not in fact be the best approach. I always like to talk about alignment or flow, depending on whether you're more of a left brain logical thinker or a right brain creative thinker. Without spoiling things too much, our chosen property strategy really does need to be in line with our long-term direction, hopes and capabilities, but more on that later. So property strategies, here's how we can break them down into the right strategy categories. As I mentioned, it spells out a word or a series of words, and R is for rental income, I is for investor services, G is for growing the capital, H is for handling property by using other people's money or assets, and T is for trading property. That's the general categories covered. So how do these break down further into individual property strategies that we can adopt? Well, R stands for rentals, as I mentioned earlier, and starting with rentals also makes a lot of sense, quite fortunately, as the word starts with an R. Rentals is buy-to-let is probably the first thing we think about when we're asked about property investing. Buy-to-let is exactly what it sounds like, buying a property and letting or renting it out to tenants on a long-term basis. Typically, a property will be rented under a single tenancy agreement known as an assured short-hold tenancy, or AST for short. An AST lasts for a minimum of 6 months. However, many tenants stay in a property for several years, renewing the tenancy agreement periodically. Tenants here could be singles, couples, families, or even sharers, for example. The key idea is to rent an entire property to an entire household under a single tenancy agreement. And there are various variations of this general principle of property rentals, including the following. Houses of multiple occupation, or HMOs, such as, but not exclusively, student lets. HMOs can also be found in different market niches, such as working tenants or blue-collar workers, professionals or white-collar workers, and those in receipt of benefits such as local housing allowance and so on. The reason for defining HMOs in this way is not to create a class distinction or anything like that. It's just that people with similar background and circumstance do tend to get on a little bit better, although this is by no means guaranteed. HMOs are similar to buy-to-let, in that each tenant will enter into an AST and so are expected or want to stay for a relative long term, well, at least 6 months anyway. A variation to individual tenancies per room is a single tenancy agreement with all tenants included, which is more common in the student market or with a group of sharers already known to one another. The key idea here is to rent an entire property but on a per room basis to several different people. Next, short-term rentals and holiday lets are two more rental strategies that follow similar patterns. Here the idea is usually to rent an entire property, usually to a single household, but over a short time period, such as days or a few weeks at the most. As a property will be rented to one household and then another afterwards, factors such as occupation rates come into play. The occupation rate is the actual time the property is let compared to the maximum time it could be. Think of hotels and the concept is similar. In addition to occupation rates, some of the other things that need to be arranged are furnishing, cooking, dining equipment, cleaning, laundry, meeting and greeting, and also marketing, which makes the business model a very hands-on and fast-changing one to manage. Location also plays a significant part here, with most short-term rental properties being located in major cities, close to areas of interest, or coastal regions, say. Finally here, taking in a lodger is another variation, and it's possibly the easiest way to get involved in investing in property. Here the idea is to rent a room either on a long-term or a short-term basis under what is known as a license agreement rather than an AST. Some things to keep in mind here are that you have to have permission to rent a room out. For example, if it's your house, it's your house and not rented. There are lease terms that restrict this if it's a leasehold property, and any lender or insurer must be notified and agrees to the arrangement taking place. These are the main strategies under the rental section. As we progress, we'll note that there can be some overlap and crossover between different strategies that is possible. Next up is investor services. In truth, this would have been better suited towards the end of this summary, but as it began with an I, it gets the second slot instead. Not all of the ways of making money through property actually involve owning a property at all, as we shall see. Investor services is the perfect illustration of this, in fact. Here we consider ways to make money by offering support to other property investors. Whilst this list could in truth run into dozens of different services, we shall focus on just a few of the more direct ways here. The three main areas I wish to highlight are lead or deal sourcing, project management, and lettings management. These are all great strategies if we have limited finances available to invest personally, but we do have time or skills in the areas mentioned, or indeed if we can acquire those skills. I say this can be used if we don't have a lot of money available to invest, but in fact they could be used alongside a more traditional property investing strategy as well, to either earn a living or provide for more investment capital to grow the portfolio. There are a range of other services that I could describe as trades and supplies that I could also mention, but this is not the main thrust of this section today. So with lead or deal sourcing, as it suggests, is providing property investment opportunities to other property investors in exchange for a fee. Many property investors are what we call time poor. In other words, they may be working full time, or they may have their own business, or they simply live overseas, for example. They may well be interested in getting access to good investment deals supplied by others and would pay other people to do this. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that there are regulations around this area and as what has become known as a buyer's agent. So checking with the organisations such as the Property Ombudsman is a must before venturing too far down this path. Project management is where someone takes on the management of the refurbishment, renovation or development of a property on behalf of an investor. Again, time and skills are the prerequisite here for an effective service provider to justify any fee. And as with deal sourcing, many investors either don't have the time or indeed the knowledge to effectively manage a project that involves multiple trades under the constraints of a budget and regulatory control, and so are happy to outsource this. Finally, here we have lettings and management. Until recently, pretty much anybody could call themselves a letting agent and take on the management of a property on behalf of an investor. Whilst the rules have been tightened up, and quite rightly too, it is still possible to act as an agent on behalf of a property investor and manage tasks such as finding tenants, collecting rent, and taking care of maintenance, Again, check the regulations before going too far here, but many property investors have expanded their businesses by taking on investor properties to manage. Okay, so we're up to G, and G is for growing the capital. Now, this might sound a little obvious. Surely this is a key component of any property investing strategy, and it most certainly is. And many property investors see their wealth grow by the benefits of capital appreciation or property price increases. There are actually two ways in which this growth can take place. The first is one that we all know about, increases in house prices. And this will happen naturally over time, as history has shown us. However, here, what I'm really talking about is other ways of achieving this growth, and in particular, over a shorter period of time, ahead of the natural market price increases. The term that is often used here is forced appreciation. Forced appreciation basically means creating value in a property by making a change that results in a higher valuation than before the change was made. This is in fact one of my favourite strategies personally, as if it's done correctly, it can lead to ways of recycling most of our starting investment funds. Some examples of forced appreciation are undertaking a value-adding refurbishment, remembering that not all works on property will result in an increase in the property's value, over and beyond the costs involved. I've written a blog post on this over at thepropertyvoice.net, so have a look at that. Other ways to force the appreciation include undertaking some kind of renovation, remodeling, or development work, such as adding a bedroom, building an extension or a loft conversion, or building a new property on part of the land in the overall property footprint. There are lots of examples here, and these are just some to get you thinking. Next, there are various ways of enhancing a property's value, and some are more of a legal or paper exercise, and that involve applying some creative knowledge to the property. For example, planning permission, extending a lease term, splitting the title from one into several units, and change of use, for example, from a commercial to residential, can all increase a property's value. H is for handling property by using either other people's money or their assets. And what I mean here is that we could undertake one of the main ways of generating a profit through property without necessarily owning the property and or by using other people's money to do so. The main ways to actually earn money through property are actually through renting it out or selling it at a profit. So how can we achieve one or both of these money makers when we either do not own the property or perhaps don't have the funds to invest? Whilst these are all advanced strategies and require more research, knowledge or training and professional support, here's how. Lease options. A lease option is where we take control of a property without actually owning it, but where we have the right or the option to own it at some point in the future. This relies on the current owner finding the arrangement acceptable to them, and the most obvious reasons for this is if they either have negative equity now, have become what is called a tired landlord, or for some other reason want to move on with their lives. Typically, with a lease option, the property is rented out on a single let basis by the investor. Rent to rent. Think of subletting a property where the investor sits between the owner and the tenants. With a lease option, the investor at least has the right or option to buy the property at some future date, whereas here in rent to rent, that is not necessarily the case. Here, the obvious way to which a margin is created is to let the property by the room rather than as a single property, and that can make the economics work a little bit better by bringing in more money than is being paid out to the owner. Note that lease options and rent to rent can be somewhat interchangeable, with lease options being turned into HMOs or rent to rent agreements coming with an option to purchase. The next major area to look at here is that of joint ventures. This can be a very complex area, and so to keep things simple, a joint venture, or JV, usually means the collaboration of one or more parties that combine skills, time, money, knowledge, or contacts for mutual gain. The best JVs are where the parties bring different aspects to the partnership. For example, someone has money and someone else has time and/or knowledge. Other examples are where the parties are similar, and at least overlapping attributes, but feel that by joining forces they can grow faster or at least share the journey and experience of property investing as they do. Some other examples in this general area of handling property that I'll just mention are assisted sale, installment contracts, and delayed completion, which all involve an agreement from a property owner to either wait to get paid in full or to give up some of the profit on the sale of a property instead. I know that I've whistled through this list quite a bit, so you can go to the blog if perhaps you'd like to have a bit more detail, or listen to another episode that we've got coming down the line for more insights into this particular area. Finally, under our right strategy, of course, we have T. And T is for trading property. Flips, buy to sell, and trading property are all names of the same thing, essentially, which is buying a property and then selling it on for a profit. The key phrase here is making a profit, of course, and where TV shows such as Homes Under the Hammer suggest it can be easy to do this, it is not always the case, especially when all of the costs are taken into consideration, especially including our time. I have, however, just given at least one clue to where you can find potential properties, and that's via auction. However, do be careful if buying at auction, as often a property is placed in an auction because there is some sort of problem with it. The job then is to identify the problem, establish that what we can live with it, and find a fix to the solution in turning it around by adding value sufficient to make a profit. Other ways of ensuring we make a profit have to some extent already been mentioned, you know, under the previous headings. So if you look at growing the capital or handling the property sections, there's no need for me to repeat them here. All I will say is that we can make quite reasonable sums of money by getting this strategy right. Although, of course, we by definition won't retain ownership of the asset by doing so. And that brings me really to my concluding point here. Making money through property is just that, of course, making money. However, with some of the strategies, such as investor services and trading property, as well as some of those listed under the handling property section, we do not always retain ownership of the asset. I just want to highlight this as by far the best way to achieve long-term wealth creation is by owning appreciating and or income-generating assets. Therefore, go for it for whichever strategy suits your particular set of circumstances, but if I were you, I would certainly be looking at ways to build a portfolio of assets to retain for myself at some point in the future. Before finishing this segment, I did mention alignment and flow earlier, if you recall. I want to return to this point briefly here. Consider a situation where we work out that buy-to-let is the way to go, and we invest a not insignificant savings pot into a single property. That's all fine as long as it fits in with our main purpose for investing in the first place. If it's to supplement a long-term pension, for example, then this may be a suitable option. However, what if we needed to replace our income, having been made redundant? Would it be the most suitable, you know, method to proceed if we could only expect to receive something in the order of £200 a month from an average single-let property using a mortgage? I doubt it. And that's why it's vital to match the strategy to our goals and personal situation, and that is also why I decided to name this episode as the right strategy too. So there we have it, as I mentioned, the right strategy, where R is for rental income, I is for investor services, G is for growing the capital, H is for handling property by using other people's money or assets, and T is for trading property. I hope you found that useful.
Up next is Your Voice. It's all about you and your property world.
So, Kaza, what do we have under Your Voice this time? Is it a question, an investor story, or a bit of a moan from one of our listeners?
Well, as we have only just started the podcast, we shall go with a question from a forum poster who shall remain anonymous. The question is, if I do not have much money to invest in property now, what could I do to either start getting involved or to prepare myself to start investing in property in the future?
That's an excellent question, and to some extent very relevant to today's theme, at least in part. I would say do these three things. Get educated, prepare yourself financially, and identify your own preferred property strategy. In a little bit more detail, to get yourself educated, you know, get involved in the world of property. There's no need to splash the cash at this point. You can start by reading books and magazines, join one or two, but not necessarily all, property forums and groups, attend one or two property network meetings, and do this for the next 3 to 6 months just to raise your knowledge level before deciding what to do next. At the same time, I would prepare myself financially. In order to do this, I'd make a financial plan that has to include some key elements. The first is some proper budgeting, which tracks all actual income and expenditure. Second, if we're in debt, is really to make a plan to pay off this debt. And this could mean by selling items of value or things lying around in the garage, say, to help get the debt down. Also by adjusting the budget to pay off more each month, and then, you know, using the snowball effect to accelerate repayment. And finally, allocating our money as we intend to go on. And this means setting aside specific sums each month for our own property investment fund. Follow the principle of pay yourself first, though, as Robert Kiyosaki says, and set up a standing order on payday to take the money before we actually spend it. It doesn't matter how little this is to start with, the key is simply to start. Identifying our preferred strategy also fits in with our personal situation and goals, as we've mentioned earlier on this podcast. And we've produced a strategy selector tool to assist with this, which we'll make available through the show notes. So head over to the website to check these out. This will evolve as time goes by, but it's a useful place to begin with at least.
And now, where you can go for more great resources with the shout out.
Today's shout out is actually two for the price of one. The first is a book called How to Get Rich Not Quick by Norb Janis. This will help with the budgeting step mentioned under the Your Voice segment earlier. The second is the Strategy Selector tool, also mentioned under Your Voice. It is highly relevant to today's theme. This is available by sending us an email to podcast@thepropertyvoice.net with your name and the subject line, Strategy Selector Tool. Or simply subscribe to our mailing list on our website before the end of April.
Thanks, Kaza. I'm sure these resources will be very helpful to our listeners. So there we have it. Our very first episode proper is in the bag. How was it for you? Did you find the discussion useful? Why don't you head over to the website, thepropertyvoice.net, to see the show notes for today's episode and other great property content ready just for you. Until next time on the Property Voice podcast, ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you for listening today. Now head over to thepropertyvoice.net for more inspirational content and get updates through our mailing list. Join us next time on the Property Voice podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, please don't forget to rate us on iTunes.